is on Poetry Plus favorite. He's been here pretty much since day one. He's probably the expat who has been here the longest, with more than anybody else in this room combined. Bob Person is next up to the mic. And another plug for Bob. Available this evening, which you have read about in The Beat. If you haven't read about it in The Beat, there's a big spot that you can look at. Are Bob's two books, Persons Korea, subtitled Arrows and Exile, and Fluid in Darkness, Frozen in Life. Both amazing, absolutely amazing. I bought these for a Christmas present for many of my friends 2 years ago. You can pick this up from Bob. This is 1500, this is Manon. Bob has those, and that's enough preamble. Please put your hands together. Welcome Bob back to the mic.
Kind of get the creative juices flowing, but every year it gets a little bit tougher. Really, one technique that sometimes helps is if I do a little bit of what the poet Ed Berrigan called creative misreading, and that is, I pick up a newspaper article or whatever's lying around, and I just read it wrong. My students, of course, do this all the time, but not intentionally, okay? At any rate, here's what I came up with after taking a look at this past Wednesday's sports page. And this little gig is called The Real Sammy Sosa Story. Chicago Cubs baseball star Sammy Sosa. Great start. Good start again.
Oh,
Heineken, but I'm doing it already. Okay. Chicago Cubs baseball star Sammy Sosa was ejected from a Chicago brothel Tuesday night after the brothel madam found cork in his shattered dick. Sosa had already banged his whore twice in foul territory when his dick broke on the third try. Brothel madam Wanda Humphire called Cubs manager Dusty Baker from an adjoining room, and together they examined Sosa's dick. Cork inside of John's dick is thought to help him last longer and get more bang for his buck. This is a real newspaper article. Okay, I didn't write this. You're free to laugh, okay? Unfortunately, it's a dirty mark against Sammy when you consider all he's accomplished, said a chagrined Dusty Baker. It's really unfortunate for the game. Everybody's scratching their balls right now and wondering, why, Sammy, why? It's embarrassing. Sammy's too good of a fucker. It's too bad. Chicago was the scene of one of Major League Baseball's most notorious court dick scandals in July 1994, when the dick of Albert Bell, then with Cleveland, was confiscated. Brothel Madam Humphire, who was on duty that night as well, took Bell's dick to her dressing room before a resourceful Indian dick boy crawled across the ceiling and switched Bell's cork dick with the normal dick belonging to another teammate. Once the caper was discovered, the original cork dick was examined by an American League urologist, and Bell was suspended from the brothel for 10 Saturday nights, a penalty that was later reduced to 7 Saturday. You know, you're a commissioner of baseball tonight, guys. That suspension was one of the most sensational since Greg Nettles, then with the New York Yankees, was ejected from a Detroit brothel in 1974 after 6 Super Bowls came flying out of his broken dick one Thursday night and almost put out the eye of the whore who was servicing him. At Associated Press, June 4th, 2003.
You can read the article in the Korea Herald and you can see what a brilliant addition I made. I should have been a sports writer, obviously.
Okay, I'm going to read a little sort of prose poem thing from the book that Sarah introduced to you called Versus Korea. And this little prose poem is an attempt to get kind of a handle on one of the human race's most enduring agony, male jealousy. This is a conflict. In the past, Korean men who married women who were sisters referred to themselves jocularly as Bumong Gongsa, or same whole brothers-in-law. Sisters, it seems, were but extensions of one fleshly entity, identical ripe melons on a single maternal vine. Times change, however, and with them morals and the meanings of popular figures speak. Today, men are same whole brothers-in-law when they happen to be sleeping with the same woman, like a pair of golfers or a threesome or a foursome on the same pristine, dewy green, stroking their tensed and dimpled balls towards the shared cup. The Korean word for female breast is yubang, literally milk womb. One imagines a mosque-like dome filled with stainless steel canisters, but soft. One imagines a closed cell filling slowly with the precious white liquid until the penitent's nose bangs against the ceiling and there is no more air. One imagines a woman built like a house. One imagines walking down long, darkened, doorless corridors, lost. One imagines meeting her other lover on a staircase. One imagines asking directions, trusting. One imagines giving directions and lying. One has known from birth that there are two breasts, two milk rooms, and that a single pair of lips cannot occupy both of them at the same time. One has known from birth that one must go from one nipple to the other, checking endlessly. Keep your eye on your girlfriend tonight. That's in my book, For Sale Back. Sometimes it's fun to take a historical lie, okay, and somehow give it a new life. Those of you Westerners here have probably heard the many lies about Catherine the Great of the West, which is a little prose poem that I came up with celebrating the great lie about this particular very independent woman. It's called Another Animal Correctness Poll. It's the story of Catherine the Great of Russia and how she had a contraption built by palace carpenters so she could copulate with a horse. Who knew way better than to believe it, but secretly we all hoped some serendipitous scholar would turn up the blueprint to her adorable top hat in a musty vault of a St. Petersburg archive. Bam, 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 sang the mallet as they drove pegs deep into the solid steps oak scaffolding. And in the imperial stables, a meal prepared, sized hay and wild oats and three mysterious dried herbs procured from an itinerant Siberian shaman. Bucephalus, the imperial stallion, silently grounds his molars. Yes, yes, this is where I intended to begin and end, with a horse, finally restored to the center of a history that never looked like.
Thank you.
I very seldom write about politics or anything like that, but one reviewer of my poetry book wrote that this poet will never be invited to the White House for National Poetry Month. And of course, I took that as a compliment, but also as an inspiration for a political poem. It's called National Poetry Day. I was having lunch with the president. He was wearing a wooden beak, as were all the other important people around the table. The lady Native American Secretary of the Interior even got to sport a few plumes. As a special treat, the president dipped into the National Archives and served up the actual uncut footage of Walt Whitman's The Dalliance of the Eagles. Get up real close to the screen, the president sort of squawked through his wooden beak. See? Them birds up there are both males. They're fucking, not fucking. I got up real close and damn it, the president was right on. Those were real male beaks on the eagle. Even I could see that. Now, the president squawked even louder, I want you to take this message back to all your poet friends. Tell them to get this shit right, okay? Let's get this shit right. Outside on the White House portico, we took all around. I had my wooden beak on too now. Unaccountably, it made me feel all light and feathery. I was certain that if I just flapped my arms a few times, I would lift off and soar above the treetops. But I didn't know how my poet friends were going to take all this. No, I didn't know that at all. Think about that one. Thank you. I'm going to go over the time limit because I want to read one poem that a couple people asked me to reread that I did in a couple readings in the past. For all you English teachers out there, and students as well, of this nefarious language. This is called Glutinous Rice, or At the Women's College. And it's got a little hit note from a Cyndi Lauper song, Can't Stop Messing with the Danger Zone. Halfway through the semester, finally, they stopped asking me, how old are you? Don't you miss your hometown? Is it true you're not married? How much do you drink? And we go on to deeper things. What, sir, does shebop mean? Good question. I wouldn't have known, except I read Time's music section to keep up with my race. It means, I say authoritatively, female autocorrect. Blank stares all around. Exotic frogs on lotus pads gazing up into the light. So I say it in Korean. Yoja chawi hei. And I sense a ripple in this placid pond of oriental souls. How does he know that bad word? They whisper quite rightly, given my struggles with their tongue. But at least I've let them know what we sing about. That's where I come from. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.